Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Baldhead Radio. This evening I got another pretty darn good guest. His name's Johnny Collins. I've known the guy for quite some time, calling out of Staten Island, New York. And very talented guy. Very glad to have him on the show. And let's get this thing started, huh? Johnny!
Yo, what's happening?
What's going on, my brother? How are things?
Things are great, man. I'm home, hanging out, talking to you, drinking a beer, and, just, you know, prepping myself for making more films, man. Love it. We're in the middle of doing AA with Fuzz on the Lens Productions.
That's right now, fun. Currently, is what's the big one that's going on. You know, I've had Michael Levy on, talked with Ari, talked with Steve Alisala last year before everything really got announced for going when you guys were out in Santa Monica. And I had him on the show, and it's a big deal, man. It's, you know, the first thing I want to say is, you know, the fundraiser that they had set up, you know, it did pretty good, man. They got, what was it, $2,000 or something like that to help out?
We had like 22
you know?
Grand. We had the first video that we put up to try to promote it. Me personally, I thought it was like too long. It was talented. It was great. It was good for people who were in the business. And we definitely got a lot of props from the people in the business for it. But, you know, for the viewers is what I'm all about, man. Now, I'm not knocking my Fuzz on the Lens guys. Those guys are super talented, one of the most talented groups I've ever worked with in my entire life. But then when they shortened it up, it was great. It was just greatness, you know. It's working with these guys every day, I get surprised. And they're half my age, you know. They surprise me all the time. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they got, you know, we talked about it quite a bit. They got a lot of passion for what they do. And, you know, everything they do, they go full bore. They don't half-ass anything. They put themselves into all of it, man. It's great to see that with young people that are just out there knowing what they want to do, knowing what they want to put out, and working as hard as they do. These guys are tireless. And right now, you know, it's been a couple weeks now since filming began. And, you know, I've seen a couple clips that have been put up. I saw the clip of you working on that truck with the flaming, you know, pipes, you know,
dude,
little things like that that they put out here and there. I wanted to ask you about that.
I had studio rehearsal tonight for my band Naked Jedi. And when I came out of the studio, someone came over to me and they, that's my pickup truck. So someone says, you know, hey, can you make that thing shoot flames again? I was like, yeah, sure can. So I jumped in the back of the truck. I started the frigger up, and flames were bursting out of it. It was great.
You got to hook it to some kind of propane deal, and how do you ignite it?
Yeah. Well, what I do is I built it myself. The pipes on it are, PVC Schedule 40 or something like that, waste pipe, three inch pipe. And what happens is I hit it with a MAP gas propane you know, handheld to start it as
right.
I have it all piped out to like a barbecue propane. And the barbecue propane, it's just, you know, that's the main ingredients, you know, and the spark and the oxygen, and it just blows. It, listen, we used it already. It looks great. We're going to do it again. The character that drives it, it fits him perfectly. It's amazing.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Jason Lee.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's the character. And let me tell you something. He is killing it. Killing it. His character I'm going to think is my favorite in this movie. That's going to be your favorite of a lot of people.
I talked to everybody on Fuzz except for Jason. And it's like when we were when we all met up out in Santa Monica and we were at the restaurant, I was on the other side of the table with you and your girlfriend and my wife. And I kind of walked around a bit and took some pictures. And Jason is just such a funny dude. You know, there were so many people there, I didn't really have a lot of opportunity to interact with him. And all the stuff that I've seen him do, all the shorts and everything with Fuzz, if I could. He's the only guy that I haven't actually talked to yet. And, you know, my plan is to have him on the show pretty soon,
man,
too.
You got to get him on the show. Let me tell you something.
Oh, absolutely.
He's so witty. Don't let the other guys know I'm saying this, but he's probably one of the most talented ones we have here. He's a gem. He's definitely a gem. He can do anything. He does voices. He does so much stuff. Every day he puts himself, he tests himself. Every day he's trying different things. He's learning keyboards. He's learning drums. He's determined, man. And then when I call him up, I'm like, yo, man, can you do me a favor? He's like, no, I'm at the gym. So he's working out, too. He doesn't stop. You know, God bless him. You know, his energy level is ridiculous. And you know what? Out of anybody I've worked with, and I'm not knocking people who wear costumes and wear masks, you know, when they're filming and you know, the hottest day of the year, because we filmed this past Sunday. It was supposedly the hottest day of the year, you know. And
yeah.
he was in full costume. Man, that guy was in costume all day in the heat, and he was sweating, and it was tough, but he didn't complain. He didn't complain. I seen him in 2-degree weather, completely naked, and he didn't complain. You know, just doing what he does.
You know.
It's what he does, man. He's dedicated. He's definitely going to be big. He's going to be a big star.
Now, in addition to, you know, you do a lot of behind the scenes work with Fuzz. You know, I was surprised to learn that you did some makeup for a few different shorts for Fuzz. How did you end up, you know, getting into, you know, doing makeup and stuff? And what's the extent of that with this new film?
Wow, dude. I gotta tell you, man. I have a really, really dear friend of mine. He's like a brother from another mother. His name is Shane Morton. He does the special effects for Adult Swim, the TV the show that's out right now called Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell.
Uh-huh.
He's out of Atlanta, and we're in a movie together. We're brothers in the movie, Dear God, No. And now, you know, we're filming it also right now is Frankenstein Created Bikers. And what's happening is he is super talented guy, man. He's been teaching me, and he also just told me, go get the book, Dick Smith. Dick Smith was the artist, special effects makeup guy who did Frankenstein Created Bikers. He did The Exorcist. He did The Exorcist. And someone knocking my door.
Not
radio show. Don't get me wrong. Thanks. He did Frankenstein Created Bikers. He's you know, my brother in it. Dick Smith. He passed away. He did The Exorcist, and he worked for NBC for 40 years. I got this book, and basically what it taught me was, use your brain, and you can make anything out of anything. You could be the MacGyver, you know, in special effects. And that was it, man. And then if I come across like a hard, you know, a brick wall or something like that, I call Shane. Shane's brilliant. Super talented guy, man.
Definitely,
you know, look out for
cool.
him, too. He's going to be one of those guys that he's blowing up right now because he did the dragons for Game of Thrones.
Are you kidding?
People's I'm not kidding, dude. He right now has an FX lab in Atlanta, and it is one of the most amazing places I've ever been in my entire life. Because everything that I look at in this huge place, Shane or V or Chris Brown or Scott Fuller, someone has touched and made. You got TC Green, but he's got all these people working for him, and they are so talented. It's such a great combination of people. I can't even, when you're there, you're so inspired, you know.
Yeah.
I come back and I feel like I don't know anything, but yet I come back with more knowledge every time I go down there. I come back with more knowledge.
That shit rubs off on you. Yeah, man. You know?
Yeah.
You're influenced by great people, and you become better at what you do. And when you see what it is you want to create with your makeup or any other avenue of talent, you know, everybody that you are influenced by, that you work with or work for or in any kind of contact with, it influences you and makes you better at what you do. And that's the great thing about artistic endeavors, whether it be music or movies or poetry or, you know,
yeah,
whatever. When you collaborate with others, you know, I'm getting ready to start collaborating with an old friend of mine. You know, we went to high school together, and he's a drummer, and he's been doing it his whole life. He's never had a normal job, you know, since we were in high school and then beyond. He's always been a percussionist. He's always been in different bands and stuff. And now we're starting to think about, you know, doing some original stuff in electronic music, but not, I don't want to do like house music or any of that usual shit that everybody uses the software for. I do weird experimental stuff, and that's what I used to do when I was younger, and I'm going to continue in that vein because that's what I enjoy. I thought doing weird stuff. But anyway, collaboratively, I bounce ideas off of him, he bounces ideas off of me, and when we work together, we come up with a whole based on the sum of the parts, being he and I. So it's the same way when you guys are making movies and you're working with Fuzz or you're working with the crew for Dear God No. And speaking of which, is Frankenstein Created Bikers like a direct sequel of Dear God No, or is it a little different?
It's a direct sequel of Dear God No. We come back as zombie bikers, and
nice.
You know,
and
you've ever
Collins
seen
again?
Dear God No, which is also Dear God No is for sale on Amazon.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. You know, you could pick that up and get yourself in tune for Frankenstein Created Bikers if you're really into a horror movie. That is, you cannot put a rating on it.
No,
if you're into boobs, beer, blood, and bikes,
it's chicks, boobs, bikes, and machetes, and fucking machine guns. It's all of that shit, all packed up into one nice bundle. And it's done in such a way to work. Wow, did they just do that? Oh, okay, let me rewind that real quick.
And you just listen, when I was reading the script, I go, nah, he's not going there, is he? He's not going. I had to read it a few times just to, like, say to myself, holy shit, man. I said, Jimmy Bicker is definitely going to be out of his parents' will. I don't know what he's doing.
Sure,
yeah. But you know what, though? Being in the movie, maybe if I was a fan, I wasn't in the movie, and I watched it once or twice maybe, I'd be like, wow, man, that's just a crazy movie. But you know what? He has so many different things in the movie, in the dialogue. And, you know, it's so many references to other horror movies.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so it's not just basically blood, guts, and rock and roll. It has references to a lot of, like, even 70s biker exploitation movies, which is basically what this movie's based on, with horror.
Yeah. There was this
one
biker movie back in the 70s, and I wish I could remember the name of it, because I saw it back when I was a kid in the late 70s, and it was about these bikers that, I guess they sell their soul to the devil and they can't die, and you know what I'm talking about? Does this sound familiar? I mean, we're both the same age, so we grew up with the same type of shit in the 70s.
Dude, I might even have the movie. I might even have it. I have a big collection of 70s. Biker movies.
If you do and you find this thing, because I remember there was music in it that stuck with me all these years, but I wish I could remember the name of the movie. And it was I don't know if it was made for TV. It possibly was, but if you could find it in your collection and let me know what the name of it was, I can go and look for it. But because
what
I don't
was,
know
the what
name
was the basis?
I have no idea.
Do you remember the basis of the movie?
The what?
What was it about? You said it was Satan was in it.
Well, it was this biker gang, and I can't remember exactly the premise, but either they had sold their souls to the devil so that they could live forever, and there was one member of the gang that didn't believe that he was part of it or something, and he ends up running into a brick wall or something, and then he walks away from him. He's like, "What the hell happened?" And they explain to him, "Hey, we can't die. You know, we do whatever we want. We're like invincible."
Dude, that's
you know what I'm saying?
I know the movie. It's on the top of my head.
Hey, you do me a favor when you get a minute, look through your collection and I will. Just like I am me or text me the name of it, and then I can go from there.
I'll send you a picture of it.
Mm.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Good
definitely.
Stuff, man.
Yo,
let me ask you a question, man. Are you listeners? Are they the listeners of your show? Are they drinking right now?
I don't know, man. Maybe they are. Maybe they're not. Probably, you know.
Because I am.
Some of them do. Well, I had
band practice, bro. We rocked out.
I gotta tell you, when I do this show, the day of the show, all day long, I'm like, I'm concerned. Like, okay, number one, is my guest going to show up? And so far, I've been lucky, at least with my show, because I was a co-host on another show for a couple of years. And sometimes we had guests that just wouldn't show up or would call a half hour before the show and say, hey, I can't make it. You know, I mean, the last show I did with Ari was a couple of weeks ago, and he actually texted me and said, dude, I'm going to be a little bit late. So I started panicking, right? So I like to have a beer before I start doing the show. I can relax and not be so stressful about it. But once the show gets going, dude, it's all good from there. You know, once my guest shows up,
dude,
and then I got my intro done,
I was nervous.
Fun. Are you?
Listen to me, I was nervous. Now I'm comfortable. I was down the block after rehearsal with my band and a ton of people at the bar, and my phone died. I said, oh, shit, man. I got to do the radio show. So at like 10:30, listen, it's only a block away from my house. So I freaking ran here. I plugged my phone in. Then all of a sudden, I say, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. I said, oh, no, it's not good. It's getting like 10:45 here in New York time. So I'm like, damn. So then I called up. I go, I didn't have the beers next to me. My phone's dead, and it's only like about 3 feet from the outlet. So like I'm sitting on the floor right now by the outlet. And I put the dog in the bedroom. And I don't know if you hear the dog barking, but the dog barks.
Let me tell you something. Hearing that from you, that means a lot to me because you were dedicated to showing up tonight.
Yeah, man. I don't want to miss this for nothing. You know, I was on Lunatic Radio on and off for like about 10 years, man. And I missed that damn show. You would have loved it. You totally loved it.
I've seen some of them. Yeah, I've seen a few of them.
4 hours, man. 4 hours every week these freaking guys would do on the internet, you know?
And they have video feed, too.
Yeah. Video feed's a plus. It really is a plus because people want to see, you know. It's pretty cool. You can look at the studio. You can do some antics. You can do stuff like that. But
it's the little stuff that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
I want to ask you something, and let's just get this out of the way and put it to bed, because ever since the whole thing went down, I've had my suspicions. I talked with Steve Delisalo live on the air about it. I talked with Michael about it. I've even talked with Ari about it if it came up. And I have my suspicions, and now that I have you on the show, I need to ask you, and if this is something to be a spoiler, then you don't have to answer this, but were you the Staten Island clown? Were you the guy in the costume?
What did Steve say?
They won't tell me nothing. They're like, well, you know, if you think it's him, okay, then it could be him. You know, I mean, Michael was like, you know, it could be him. It could be a several different people. And I'm like, yeah, that's a possibility. But I don't know. I kind of know Johnny, and that's Johnny, man. That's just how I felt.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of footage of me not in that outfit, so I don't know why people would think it was me.
Yeah, well, you know, there's editing. I'm just kidding, dude. It could have been several different people that did it several different times, you know, within the organization, but I just had this feeling all these years, and I just kind of wanted to ask you, see what you'd say, and I figured you'd go with the same, which is good. Keep it mysterious.
You know, it's funny.
Even though
I have... my lawyer and my chiropractor, which are, I don't want to title them as that. They're my friends. While the Staten Island Clown was in its hype and New York and Staten Island was going crazy over this, people were setting up, like, you know, they were getting together, jumping in the cars, going to where the Clown was last seen, and they wanted to beat the Clown up.
And since that one video.
What's up?
There was one video, Staten Island Clown gets beat up or something like that.
Well, we did that. Fuzz and Lens did that. It's called the SI Clown Beatdown. But, you know, that's why we did that. Yeah. So, you know, people were really seriously, you know, going crazy. I saw four police officers in a car, and they pulled over and they were getting out. And I said, so you got a lot of cops in one car, man. What is this, the Clown Task Force? This was in the hype, right, during that time. And they go, the sergeant goes, you know, that guy, whoever that is going to get arrested. And I said to him, I said, why? And he goes, well, you know, I said, what did he do? He says, there's reports of him jumping at people and attacking people. Meanwhile, I know the fucking deal. And, oh, dude, I'm sorry. Am I allowed to curse?
No. No, you can curse or whatever, man. We are no FCC.
Oh, sorry,
FCC
sorry.
Free,
yeah,
right.
So anyway, and he's like, so he goes, you know, yeah, you know, that guy's going to get arrested. And I said to him, for what, man? You know, I don't know if you guys in California have, like, the Liberty Tax people.
I know where they are from living in New York, but we don't really have that out here. We just have basic tax.
Right. Well,
you
know what they have here? They have the guy. Well, you know, why would they have Liberty? It's New York. The Statue of Liberty freaking outfit on these people standing outside these tax, you know,
places. Oh, yeah, yeah. We
places.
Got this Liberty Tax. Yeah, we got that out here. Sorry.
Oh, you do? So they stand outside the places and they try to advertise to come in and do your taxes. So I told the cop, I said, well, if you arrest that clown, then you better arrest the Liberty guy because he's a fucking clown. You know, what's the difference? And he looked at me and he goes, but the clown's terrorizing people. I said, I've never heard of that clown terrorizing anybody. And he had nothing. You know, so like we were getting nervous. So basically what I'm getting at, long story short, is that we will never say who was in that clown outfit just in case the cops decide to arrest us.
Oh, I got you. So it's a legal matter. Like you said, you talked to your lawyer about it.
I don't think it's a legal matter.
It's
a
protection kind of thing, you know.
Not necessarily legal. I think we like it, that secret, you know? And back
it's
to my chiropractor and my lawyer. My chiropractor and my lawyer called me up and they said, yo, you know, this clown and everything, I got a feeling that you got something to do with this. And I was like, nah, I got nothing to do with it. When it came out that we did, they were freaking mad at me. And I said to them, I said, I vowed secrecy, man. You have to understand that I'm a trustworthy guy and I'm going to keep the secret. And they were okay with that. And that's it. You know, listen, if you're going to pull a gag, you got to pull it good, man.
If you're going to do it, just like the Levy brothers, do whatever you're going to do. Go all the way with it. Don't just half-ass it. That's, you know,
listen,
that's the way those guys
are. I heard Michael Levy say one time in a skit that we did called Mama's Boys.
Oh, my favorite, dude.
He turned around to the banana and says, don't peel yourself off. Don't peel yourself off, banana. How do you say it? Because, you got to be in it to win it. I don't know what the fuck. I forgot what he said. I'm getting drunk. Awesome. You got to go all the way. Don't peel yourself now. Some shit. You know what, dude? I'm drinking. It's great. I did some tequila shots with my band.
Yeah,
dude, we're gonna be doing a video in September. We're gonna be doing a video in September.
Good segue, dude. Because that leads me into things that I want to go into regarding your other side of what you do, and that is the music aspect of it with Naked Jedi. And I got to tell you, clips of Naked Jedi are rare and far in between. I think even just a couple of months ago, I just, for shits and giggles, went on YouTube and just typed in Naked Jedi. I found one shitty low-resolution clip that was like 45 seconds long, and that's all I could find. I'm like, man, I can't find any of this shit.
Was that in Punta Cana?
No, I think it was filmed in New York at one of the clubs you guys do out there. I'm not sure. I didn't really tell where. but it was not a very, it was like a cell phone quality, done in, not even done in portrait
mode.
But
we played Punta Cana one time. It was fucking great, the Hard Rock Cafe. And it was a shitty resolution. It was, you know, we didn't expect to be playing the clubs there. You know, you go to Hard Rock Cafe, you rent guitars. And we thought, like, our penthouse room at the Hard Rock Cafe, whatever, for your presidential suite, we were just going to be jamming out on the balcony. And when we went to go rent the guitars out, they gave us these, like, suitcases that were amplifiers, but you had headphones. There was no amps. I was like, I don't want this. So we were a band. We wanted to jam out live together.
Well, so wait, aren't they going to put you on? Don't they have a house system to plug you guys into?
No, no. If you're going to rent out, they don't want you disturbing the other guests.
Oh,
you know, so
gotcha.
You, you know,
okay.
Like if you're like a rock or whatever, you go to a Hard Rock Cafe, you can get a guitar. You can rent out any guitar you want. It's pretty cool if you're by yourself or with your girl and you're hanging out and you're just in the jacuzzi and just chilling, whatever. But we went with the whole band, and I said, we want to fucking jam as a band. And the girl goes, listen, then you cross this lobby and go see that girl over there, and she will set you up. I said, oh, okay. So I went over to the girl. She was the promoter for all the clubs. She put us in the club that night. It was called the Moon Lounge. There was a band playing, and the band was awesome. Great friggin' band. She says, listen, you got to talk to the manager, though, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, all right, good. We'll go up and do a couple songs. So I went to the manager. The guy goes, you know, listen, they're in a different country. I turned around to the guy. I said, listen, we're going to do about 5 or 6 songs. Is $100 going to work for you? And the guy goes, perfect. That was it. We used their equipment. They were buying us shots. It was a good time. And one of our friends, and he was playing the rhythm guitar. You know, he's not even in the band, but he plays. We're like, yeah, you play too. We don't care. And he videotaped it. It was a badass video. But anyway, we're doing a video in September. Fuzzle Lens Productions is going to film it. And I've been working on Paulie Walnuts from Sopranos. Paul Sirico. And I'm trying to get him to be in it. It looks good. He's kind of retired. He's really busy doing things for wounded veterans, and that's what he's dedicating his life to right now. And what I want to do is everything we make off this video, I want to put it towards wounded veterans too. You know, I'm
nice.
All about it.
Right
on. Dude, I'm too old to care about the money. You know, I'm not making it anyway. I'm having a great time spending it.
You know, give it to something that, I mean, you work so much, you don't have time to spend your money anyway. So what the fuck, you know?
Nah, I know.
Hey,
listen, life's good.
Listen, two more things in that spectrum I want to ask you is, number one, the other video that I did, you know, see of Naked Jedi was with Michael Levy. And Michael and I talked about this when I had him on the show. And it was a nice short clip, but it just showed, like, Michael just, it looked like it was almost kind of like a last minute thing. Hey, I can do this tune, he said. And he just got up there and nailed it, dude. It was pretty cool.
You know what? That was his first time he ever did that, and he was nervous as all hell. We planned him for coming up. We didn't know he was going to put the beard on and the cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. It was a surprise to me. And I loved it. I was like, man, I don't even want to sing the song anymore. I think you own that song, you know?
Steve Giannanti
wrote it, but
now it's like you're doing a cover tune of Michael Levy.
Yeah. He was great.
The other thing I want to ask you about, and I was really surprised when I saw this, and I was like, because I didn't hear anything about this until this video was put up, and that is the Duchesne Band.
Okay, Duchesne.
Yeah,
fucking
now talk
band.
To me about that video that was put up. I think it went up, shit, man, it doesn't actually say, but it came up maybe a month or two ago, which is Duchesne Band. The song's called
About a Month,
When I Walked Out. And it was cool, man. I like it. And I saw you in that. I'm like, I didn't even know he was doing country music. This is cool, man.
Yeah, man. Duchesne is a very, very good friend of mine. And a few years back, he asked me to fill in as a bass player for Law and Order. I don't know if you remember Law and Order back in the day. You know, in the late 80s and early 90s, they were touring with Guns N' Roses, you know. They fucking great band, super talented. I was, you know, like when he asked me, I was like, really? You know who you're talking to? I said, I only know like three chords, man. What are you doing? And he's like, you can do it. You know, and he's that kind of guy, like he'll have you do it. And when, I went to his house in Manhattan and he just showing me all the stuff. We did the show. And at the end of the night, he says, you staying? I was like, yeah, I'll stay for a couple of beers. He goes, no, in the band. I go, yeah, dude, do you want me to? Like, you know, I'm his friend, but the guy's so friggin' talented, man. He's ridiculous. Great songwriter. And, video is great, man.
I like it. I'm not a big country music guy, but you know, when you know somebody who's doing a project, if it's a friend of yours or somebody that you know is associated with others that you know, then you take a little bit more interest in it, which is what I'll say. I got to be honest, if I saw the video, it's good, it's well shot, the music is great, but if I hadn't seen you in it, I probably wouldn't have taken an interest, not just being honest, you know, liking it, dude. I watch it, you know, it's great. I watch it every once in a while and go, yeah, man. It's good exposure when you got the opportunity to play with other people and it crosses over to other fan bases, which is another great thing about collaboration, you know what I mean? And you work with a lot of people.
What's up?
What happened?
I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that last one.
I was just saying, collaboration is great, and I noticed that you work with a lot of different people. You got a lot of things going on, which is great.
Yeah, dude, I'm like a yo-yo. I love it, man. I love the entertainment world, man. I love creating stuff. I don't sleep much, which isn't good. But I enjoy it, man, every aspect. Music, makeup, monsters.
And you're a guy that still works in 9-to-5, just like you were when I used to know you. I mean, like I said, I met you back in what, 1990?
Yeah.
No, 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met you out there when I came out to New York, you know. Yeah, it was like 2000 when I was
working for the phone company?
You had just started working for them. I was staying with your brother.
Yeah, so it was 1999.
Yeah,
1999.
Before that, I think you were doing like I don't know, heating and air conditioning or some shit like that with your other brother.
Yeah, I was. I actually did the heating and cooling for Spin City and Law and Order Studios. Yeah, it's crazy.
How ironic is that, huh?
Yeah, you know what's weird?
It's weird.
You watch the show Gotham?
I haven't really. No.
What about Dexter?
I watched a bit of Dexter. Yeah, I couldn't really get into it, but I've seen it.
Do you remember the Spanish police officer?
Yeah.
I ran into him in West 45th Street yesterday. And I'm working at my regular day job. And I see the guy as I'm walking across the street. He's on the same side. When I looked at him, you know, it was like I took a double take. Like, he looks familiar, you know? And I realized who he was, and I fucking love his acting. So I turned around, and I walked right towards him, and I said, hey, how you doing? My name is Johnny Collins. You know, I'm a movie producer, among other things I do. Here's my card. I would love to work with you. The guy put his hand out, shook my hand, said, hi, I'm David. He goes, you know, I said, I know you, David. David Zayas. And he was so cool. We stood and spoke for about a good half hour to 45 minutes, and he was a police officer in Manhattan right where we were standing, and it was really good to talk to someone that is kind of like in the boat that I'm in now where I need to take that leap. I need to get more work in, you know, the creative field so I can leave the 9-to-5 grind, you know?
That's a leap of faith, dude. Leap of faith.
Yeah, man, and it's tough. And he was just talking to him, he says you're gonna know, man. You're gonna know when it happens. And he was telling me about his stuff, you know. It was he was so approachable, and I'm not really like that, but he the way he looked at me, he was accepting me already. You know, he was a really good guy. And you know what? I'm a big fan of that guy.
I
think other people should be too.
When we talk about that leap of faith, this is something that Michael and Levy and I talked about when I had him on the show. Is, you know, Michael and Jason and Steve Lasala and Ari Barkin, I mean, these are all young guys. They're all 24, 25 years old, and so they have that.
Yeah.
They've got youth on their side, and they have that, what do you call it, that enthusiasm, you know what I mean? And one thing we were talking about is that if you're going to do something, if you want to do something, especially creatively, something that's like, you know, on again, off again, and you got to work really hard at it to keep it going. If you're going to do it, go balls out 100%. And Johnny, you're going to find that point, and we're older now, so it's a little harder for us to feel that. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
You're right.
But when you find it, when you feel it, when you know that it's there, then you're going to know it's time. And then from that point off, when you jump off that springboard, you know, all right, I'm all in. Either I do this or I don't. There's, you know, it's like you fucking Yoda said, you know, do it or don't do it. There's no trying. You either do it or you don't. That's what these young guys, and to be influenced by young people that are that passionate, it's a fucking awesome thing, dude. And you're in that place right now, like you said.
I'm a lucky bastard, man. I am a lucky bastard being hooked up with these guys. I really am.
Oh, yeah.
Because these guys, you know what? They put the task on the table. As young as they are, they put the task up there, and I'm like, man, I can do it. I can do it. If they didn't put the task up there, I probably wouldn't be doing it because there's nobody else around here doing it. You know, there's no one else putting that task up there.
One thing that Michael said when I asked him about how he met you, he said that when you were on the set, it was one of the shorts they were filming. I can't remember which one. It was one of the first ones you worked on with them. They didn't. You came in and at the beginning, like, they didn't really have anything planned for you or anything they wanted you to do. So you just started doing whatever. Like, Michael was he sings high praises for you because you're a guy that when you show up and you look for things that need to be done, and then you just go and do them. That's what he was saying. He's like, dude, I couldn't believe it. This guy was just, like, serving food to people or doing whatever that needed to be done. You know, at the time, he was just coming on with the crew, and, you know, you guys didn't really know each other that well. You met through your brother, Terry, and or I think it was Michael's dad, too.
Well, actually, I know his dad. My brother, Kevin. And his dad are close, and they golf together and stuff, His mom, great family.
He had a lot of good stuff to say about you, so I just want to let you know that. We got about 5 minutes.
I love those guys. Let me tell you something. We're a family. Fuzz and Lens is a family. It's not, not work.
And I can tell when I talk to each of these guys that they look at things not like it's work. This is their passion. It's what they enjoy doing, and there's nothing else that they would ever want to do, and they'll always be doing this. This is what they do, and these guys are going places, and you're in a good camp right there. You know what I mean? And I just appreciate how these guys have welcomed me into the family, so to speak, as being able to interview them, having them on my show, having you on my show, and all the people that are involved with the production company. You know, I got a good feeling that they're going to recommend that people be on my show. Hey, this guy, you know, be on the show, it's cool, you know. I like that.
No, thank you for having us on your show, man. You kidding me?
Oh, yeah?
It's awesome. Yeah, dude, I'm honored to be on your show. It's crazy. Listen, I'm a regular guy, you know. I'm not always, you know. To me, this is like I don't know, it's a weird thing. Yeah, I'm making movies. I've done so many things in my life. But I'm still the guy who goes and plays Little League with my kids, you know, just playing horseshoes with a bunch of old-timers down the block. You know, I'm still a regular guy. And so, to me, like someone told me last week, you know, you can totally get a booth at some kind of, like, Comic-Con and sign autographs and make money. Yeah. I don't feel that way, man. I don't feel that way. I'm still a fan. I want to go and get autographs from somebody.
Yeah. And that's the beautiful thing is,
you just being just a you know, you're not spoiled by the shit. You're excited by it. You're in that place, and you want to always be in that place because that's why you do it. If you ever lose that feeling, if you ever lose that, you know, I want to be here today, every day. If you ever lose that, then you know you're not doing it for the same reason that you started it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I mean? But because you're just such a regular guy, I mean, I've known you for a long time. We had a long chunk of time where we didn't really know each other for a while, but thanks to the internet, a lot of us have reunited and we talked.
Yeah,
again.
But we know each other, man. Shit, we live together.
We know each other. We were, you know, for 3 years I lived out there, and it was always I remember one time you had an Ibanez with a four-string Ibanez with a nice, like a pearl red body, and you loaned it to me just so I could bump on it at home. And like, you were so cool about it. You were so welcoming. And that's the way, you know, these fuzz guys are too, you know. We got about, 4 minutes
left. You're a great
guy,
man.
Oh, thanks, dude.
You're a great guy. Dude, you know what? I'm so glad we reunited, like, our friendship. You know, seeing you in California and we were hanging out was awesome. My girlfriend loves you. Man, it was great.
My wife was kind of sitting there going, are these the movie guys? I'm like, yeah, that's why we came out here. She's like, I know, but are these the movie guys? Yeah, but I've known this guy for so long, you know. To me, it's like, you know, you're an old friend, and it's very cool. I'm like starstruck kind of in a way. I've been doing this for a while, but this is, you know, my own show. I only just started up maybe about 4 or 5 months ago. But because of the people that I know and associate with, even here on the West Coast, down in Louisiana, you know, I got people in the business and stuff. So I got a lot of people that are like, yeah, it's about time you did this shit. You know, why didn't you do this a long time ago? It's like, well, because I didn't know about it. I didn't know I could do this stuff.
That's what it is, man. If you don't know, you know, yeah, technology's here. Dude, it's giving guys like you and me at our age like a new life, you know. You know,
exactly,
like a new career,
dude,
a new hobby. It's a hobby for us.
Yeah.
For like the other fuzz guys, they're like, yeah, dude, it's great.
And you gotta have
great. Listen, now who do you know in Louisiana?
Louisiana.
I
want to
do that. They got the horror festival. I want to go to that.
Yeah, I got my buddy Michael Dawson is down there. He owns a Kung Fu studio down there in New Orleans, and he's also he just got finished. Dude, he worked on the new Terminator movie. He's right now, I interviewed him. You can find it on my show page. All the archive shows are there. Michael Dawson. Yeah, he's down there in Louisiana. He's been down there for, I don't know, about 6 or 7 years or something like that. But originally he was working out in California. And he worked up in Canada on Kung Fu, The Legend Continues with David Carradine for 3 seasons back in the early 90s or whenever it was up there. So, you know, he's a stunt guy, Kung Fu guy, you know, technical consultant kind of thing. But he knows all kinds. He worked actually with Jessica Lange on American Horror Story Freak Show, the last season they did.
Cool.
And he was actually
really
in a scene in the last episode of American Horror Story Freak Show. He was in the last episode at the beginning in the scene with Jessica Lange, and he got to take her down, dude. Just tackled her as a security guard. It was fucking hilarious. But anyway, like I said, we only got like a minute left, so get your plugs out real quick. The computer at the server, I don't have any control over it. They're going to cut us off, kind of like XM Radio does. They're just going to cut us off. So you got about a minute, 30 seconds. Get your plugs out real quick, bro.
Listen, Johnny Collins, IMDb, Fuzz on the Lens Productions, Frankenstein Created Bikers. Brett is
And Dear
awesome.
God, No, of course.
Dear God, No, of course. Well, Frankenstein Created Bikers is part two of Dear God, No. And, yeah, we're going to rock and roll, man.
Naked Jedi.
Brett.
Naked Jedi.
Naked Jedi Duchesne Band. Dude, thanks for having me on the show, man. Absolute pleasure.
Yeah, I love having you. And I would talk to you again very soon.
I love being on, man. Thank
all throughout this summer, we got all kinds of things going on, and we will have you back again, for sure.
That'd be great, man. I hope so.
All right, bro.
Talk to you later, man.
Love you, too, bro. Later. Bye.